I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Washed in the fountain of His blood. A joint heir with Jesus. I know what it's like to be on the other side of that, you know, and to walk in darkness. And now we get to walk with Him in the light. You know, the Bible's very clear. 1 John 1:7, I believe it is. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another.
Amen.
Yeah, do you see the connection? Walking in the light and having fellowship with one another. Amen. And with what? The Father and the Son. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. God designed us to be part of a family. God is into families. God created mankind. I mean, He created the first family, didn't He? He made Adam, and then He took Eve out of Adam, brought her back to Him, and the first family was formed.
Amen.
So God is family-minded, and God has created us to be a part of something bigger than just ourselves. There are some people who think that they can be a lone ranger, you know, in the kingdom and just kind of float around and do their own thing. No, God designed us to be a part of a body, the body of Christ. And God gives us assignments. He cuts our orders, right? We don't cut our own orders. God assigns us where He wants us to be. So being where He places us is where you're going to bloom, where you're going to blossom and bear fruit. So it's very important that we fellowship as often as we can with one another, okay? And you know, the devil doesn't want you to be here. And aren't you glad you didn't listen to that other voice this morning, right? They said, just sleeping, or don't worry about church today. But see, that's how we don't, especially when you're hearing, I don't really want to go. That's when you really got to say, I need to go. God's got something good for me. We are having fun here. God is good. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Man, you know, you can't find joy anywhere, really, except in Him. This is what God's trying to get our attention about, is the things you're searching for, you know, the things you're trying to fill yourself with in this world, you know, they're counterfeits. They're cheap substitutes. God is exceeding joy.
Amen.
He's peace that passes all understanding. He's a perfect love. And so we want Him. We want to know Him. And when we have intimacy with Him, when we are in fellowship with Him and with His people, there is a release of His grace, His amazing grace, that motivates our hearts to want to serve Him. Your hearts are motivated by the love of God. If you're serving God because I have to, you've missed it. We serve God because His love is burning in our hearts. Amen? We have a compassion for people because we have a passion for God. And do you know that God is passionate for you? He's passionately in love with us. He was passionate when He went to the cross for us. Amen? He was willing to suffer for us so that we could go free, so that we could have life with Him, so that we could have an inheritance with Him, so that we could serve Him free of condemnation, guilt, and fear, and shame. God wants His people to be joyful.
Amen.
I heard that. Amen. I'm going to talk about one of my favorite people in the Bible. And I've talked about him before, but he's a little guy. And his name begins with a Z. Zacchaeus. Yeah. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Now that's the name of the title, is Looking for Jesus. And I want us to take a look at Zacchaeus and ask ourselves a few questions today. Okay. So, Father, I just ask You to help me today. And Lord, that You will speak through me today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Oh, help us, Lord. time. Hallelujah. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was. What did he do? He sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was a short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor. If I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. Now understand this, that the Jews thought, because biologically they were children of Abraham, that that was a shoo-in for the kingdom. That meant that automatically they're in with God and they're going to heaven. But he's talking about something different here. He's talking about a son of Abraham because Abraham was the father of the faithful. Because Abraham was a man who believed God. And because Zacchaeus also demonstrated that he had true faith or belief in God. Amen. And that he was called the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, Zacchaeus showed something here by his earnestness that he believed that Jesus held the key to his deliverance. His earnestness proved that he knew that Jesus had something that he needed, that he wanted. He sought to see Jesus. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That is Jesus Christ. And the grace of God that brings salvation had appeared to this little guy called Zacchaeus. Now, I'm willing to bet, and I'm not saying this because I'm tall, because sometimes tall people want to be shorter, and shorter people want to be taller. But sometimes with shortness, there's insecurity. Have you ever heard of that, when people are short? Even when kids, when you're a kid, you're kind of a little more insecure around big people, you know? And I believe that Zacchaeus very possibly had some insecurity in his life. Amen? He also didn't have a lot of friends. I bet he was quite lonely. Why was that? Because he was a publican. And the publicans didn't have many friends. Why? Because they were stealing taxes from people right in front of their face. You know, they were exacting more than what was due. And so they were hated by the Jews and the Roman citizens. They took more that was, you know, required of them to line their own pockets. And so it's pretty clear, you know, that Zacchaeus had some things plaguing him. And when he heard about Jesus coming, he wanted to get a look at Jesus. He thought, maybe, just maybe, this is the answer that I'm looking for. Maybe this is, you know, what else could he do? You know, man was not in a position to help him. As a matter of fact, men did not like him. So what was he going to do? He was looking for some kind of solution to his dilemma. He was in a place where he was despised. He was hated. He was alone. He was short, so he was probably insecure. And he had probably a ton of guilt riding on him. Has anybody here beside myself ever been in a place where you had a ton of guilt riding on you? You just felt so ashamed or guilty of your life or the mistakes and the things you've done, and the what if I had done it differently, and why did I do that? That was dumb. But you see his earnestness in the fact that Zacchaeus was not going to be held back by anything. He, no matter what it took, he was going to get a look at Jesus. So what did he do? It says that he bebopped. No. Some of you don't even know what bebop is. That's old, right? It says he ran and climbed a tree. Do you think he might have been a little bit desperate? How many know that if you're going to run and climb a tree to see somebody, you're desperate? He was desperate because he needed some help, and he didn't know where else to go. He was in a cage or a prison of guilt and of shame, and there was nothing in his own ability, no psychic connection, amen? No therapy was going to help him. How many know that a therapist cannot help you with guilt? Amen? You need Jesus Christ. You need the Lord. Amen? He's the one who can not only forgive us, but forget our sins. Amen? Blot them out. Amen? And also restore peace to our hearts. This is the awesome thing, is that God gives us peace. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. You know, that man, I didn't know what I was going to do in my life. I was messed up. I needed help out of the situation I was in that I got myself into. I tried all kinds of things to try to feel better. How many know that that's what the world's doing right now? They're trying all kinds of things to feel better. People want to feel better because we realize that we're living in a sin-sick, broken world. And so we want to feel better. And so we're looking for the solutions too often in the wrong place. So this is what happened. Jesus calls his name. The call of the master went out and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And what does Zacchaeus do? He says, one of these days, Lord. No. He immediately came down. He made haste. He responded. What did he do? He responded to the call of God. You know, sometimes, folks, God's calling our name, but we're not listening. God's calling our name with the answer, and we're not listening. God wants you and I to have life. He's the author of life. He wants us to have fullness of life. Life abundantly, a superior quality life, superabundant life. And that's what he wanted to give to this man who everybody else had written off. He had no other alternatives except he thought, well, maybe if I can just get to see Jesus, things would be better. Do you know why Jesus stopped and looked up? Because Jesus is attracted to people who have an earnest desire for him. Jesus is attracted to people who have a searching heart for him, who are looking for him. Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. Do you want Jesus to look your way? Start looking for him. Start seeking him. Set your heart to seek him. Amen. Don't wait for the minister. Amen. Don't wait for somebody else. Don't wait for God to show up. Amen. Go after God. Amen. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Set your heart. Begin to call on his name. Seek him. Get into a position where you will get his attention. He climbed up to it in a tree to see Jesus. And it says in verse 6 that he made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. Now, I want us to take a look at this in verse 7, the response of the people. But when they saw it, they all complained. Now, how many of us would stop as soon as the crowd disapproved of our zeal for God, our desire for God, our earnestness to seek him, our earnestness to connect with his people, to be involved in the work of God? How many of us would just say, well, if it's not popular with the crowd, then it's not popular with me? Ooh. How many know Zacchaeus didn't care what the crowd, because the crowd had written him off anyways? How many know it's much more important to please God than it is to please people? Aren't you glad that Jesus wasn't, you know, in a place where he says, well, I really don't want to lose favor with the people here. And this guy, nobody likes him, so I just think I'll bypass this guy. I'll pretend he's not there. I don't want to associate with that those kinds. Jesus didn't say that, did he? Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to seek and save me. How about you? Amen? Because He loves us. And He wants to give us His life, His eternal life. And He saw this man who had an earnest heart, a desire, even though he was, by the world standards, he was a real sleaze, forgive the expression. But Jesus didn't see that. Jesus saw a heart that was seeking after Him. Jesus saw a man who was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Are you hearing me? He was sick and tired of the guilt and the shame and the condemnation and the fear that he lived in. And he was desperate to get free. And he looked for Jesus and got Jesus' attention. How many want Jesus' attention? How many know you need to praise Him? You need to draw near to Him. Amen. Call on His name. Wait on His presence. Sometimes, God's been dealing with me about settling down because I'm a go-getter, to settle down in His presence and be recharged and be restored. Amen. Be renewed. Get your batteries recharged. Amen. And quit all the activity. Wait on God. The Lord will show up, but He's not going to show up on your timetable. He shows up on His time. But what we need to do is wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40, amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. Hallelujah. Oh, when God shows up, it's an awesome thing, isn't it? When you just encounter the living God, you can't help but be joyful. Anybody experiencing joy today in the house? God is here. Thank you, Lord. Another question I want to ask you is, the people were complaining about Zacchaeus because, he was a dirt ball and they didn't like him and he was a thief. Why would Jesus hang out with this guy? Why would Jesus go to his house and spend time with him when he should spend time with me? Besides, I'm so righteous. I'm so good. I'm his favorite. How many know none? There are none good? The goodest of the gooder. Amen. There is none good in the sight of God. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have to come the same way. That's on our knees before Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. And Zacchaeus realized who he was. And it's a good place to be, folks, when you realize your true condition. Because you cannot know that except the Spirit of God reveals it to you. How many like the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Well, how many appreciate the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Yeah? Hallelujah. I think I'll go with the part two there. Yeah, the appreciate. How do you and I respond to God's mercy towards someone who has wronged us? Are we like Jonah, who was upset that God was going to have mercy on the Ninevites? These are people that had oppressed his people, that had mistreated his people, and God sent him and says, I want you to go to those very same people, and I want you to preach repentance. Call them to repentance. And God had mercy on those people because they responded to the call of God. And Jonah was upset. And sometimes, folks, if we're not careful, we can be the same way. We can get upset with God because he's been good to somebody who's been bad to us. But the truth be known, we've all been bad to God and he's been good to us. Come on. We've all sinned against God and he's been good to us. And if he's been good to us, then we need to be good to other people, even when they're not good to us. Amen. We need to learn how to love our enemies. We need to learn how to pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. Thankfully, Jesus was not there to please the crowd, but to do the will of the Father. And what did Zacchaeus do? He made restitution. How often does this happen today? when somebody has received God's mercy, they set their hearts to restore that which they had stolen, that which they had wronged. They seek to make right now. They seek out people, if possible, to ask their forgiveness for the ways that they've used them or abused them. He sought restitution. And you know that God took note of that. How many know there's more to it, folks, than just saying, "I'm sorry"? Your sorry has to be backed up with action. True repentance requires action. True repentance says, "I'm sorry enough to stop doing what I used to do. I'm sorry enough that I'm going to make right where I've made wrong." Amen? John the Baptist said to those who were being baptized, he says, "Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance." He says the axe is laid to the root of the tree. It's ready to be chopped down. He says, so you need to bring forth fruits, meat for repentance. In other words, if you're truly repentant, it will bear fruit in your life. There will be evidence that you mean business because you no longer do the things you used to do. And wherever possible, you are seeking restitution with others. When people say that they've received Jesus, they've repented of their sins, and then they go out and they steal. They haven't repented, folks. That's not repentance. If you were a thief, the Bible says, learn how to give now. Amen? Do the opposite now. If you've stolen from somebody, go look that, if at all possible, look that person up. At least offer an apology, and if possible, pay them back for what you stole. Amen? Do the opposite of what you used to do. If you were hateful, love. Amen? If you were abusive, if you were a bully, do the opposite. Stand up. Stick up for somebody who's being abused. Amen? Is being bullied. Do the opposite. Seek restitution. Zacchaeus received mercy from God because his repentance was genuine. His heart was pure. God had moved on him. God had worked on his heart. How many knew that God was drawing this man? It was the grace of God that drew him to Jesus in the first place. Hallelujah. Does anybody here have a witness of that in your own life? You see, many people are willing to accept Christ on their own terms, but not his requirements for them. Are you hearing me today? Amen. I'll receive you, Jesus. I'll make you Lord on my terms. That's false repentance. That's not repentance. It's not on my terms, it's on his terms now. What does God require of me now? What does God call me to do now? That's what I do now. It's not, Lord, I want, it's not Burger King, amen? You walk up and order what, have it your way. It's not a have it your way thing. It's, I had my way. I had my way in the filth of this world. I had my way as a sinner. Now, I'm going to have it his way. He bled for me. He died for me. He shed his blood for me. He forgave me, amen? He canceled the debt. Now, it's going to be his way. Not my way. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. I die daily, Paul said. Every day I deny that part of me that wants to go its own way. And I say, Lord, I'm looking at you. I'm fixing my eyes on the prize. I'm living for eternity. Amen. It's no longer my way. From now on, it's going to be your way. Amen. That was Zacchaeus' heart. And that should be ours too. I mean, you know that God is calling you and I also, as he did with Zacchaeus, not only to repentance, but to serve him. You said it already this morning, didn't you? God calls us to serve him. Everyone in this room is called to serve God. For the rest of our lives, we've lived our lives for ourselves. Now it's time to live for him. The rest of our lives. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Filled with the Holy Ghost, I am. All my sins are washed away, and my night was turned to day. Now I'm walking in the light with Jesus. I want to live for Him. How about you? Hallelujah. I don't want to go out in mediocrity. I don't want to be lukewarm and just kind of exist and dry up on the vine. Are you with me? But I want to be lush with His presence. Amen. Bearing fruit even into old age. I want to go out with a bang, with a blaze. Amen. I don't want to fade away. I want to blaze away. I want to bear fruit and glorify my Father. I want to for the rest of my life say, Lord, how can I give thanks for the things that You have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet You gave to prove Your love for me. To God be the glory. The rest of my days. Folks, we've got to be all in. We've got to just say, that's it. That's it. I'm all in. Amen. Amen. We're all in, Jesus. Zacchaeus went beyond just saying he was sorry, folks. Zacchaeus proved by his actions that his repentance was genuine. And so Jesus declared to him, He says, salvation has come to this house. The Lord says, come now, let us reason together. Let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But He goes on to say, but if you refuse and rebel, not good. How many are willing and obedient? How many want to just go all the way with Jesus? All the way. Hallelujah. Father, thank You for that. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You for all You've done for me, Lord. Thank You for Your mercies are new every morning. God, I thank You. Are we willing to run and climb a tree for Jesus? Jesus is in the house right now here. Are you willing to respond to His invitation? Are you willing to make restitution in your life? Are you willing to give your life for His service? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to be free from your fear, your guilt, and your shame? Hallelujah. God bless you. Father, we thank You for Your word today. Lord, we don't want to stand up before You and present to You all of our good deeds and all the good things we've done. God, we can only come before You as needy, as impoverished in spirit, realizing, Lord, that we don't have what it takes to live for You. We don't have what it takes to be saved. You have the words of eternal life. You are our salvation. You are our joy, our strength, and our song. You are all we need. In You we live and move and have our being. Only You can satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. You are our bread, Lord. You're the one who satisfies us. And we come to You and we drink and we eat of Your presence. You said the flesh profits nothing. It is a spirit that gives life. You are a life-giving spirit, Lord. And we come to You today and we say, Lord, I want Your life. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Would you just pray? Lord, have mercy on me. Blot out my sins and renew a right spirit in me. Restore me. Show me where I need to make restitution. Lead me in Your plan. I want to follow You, Lord. I'm all in. I receive You. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.